When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Don't sweat the technique.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blankers is gone. He had to run.
Joel Blank, man.
Yep. Where did Blankers run off to? 713-780-ESPN. Wrong answers only. Texas says NFL needs to reseed their tournament. They do. They do. They reseed. The high seed plays the low seed after the wild card round.
The only one that does, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I liked it. I like it that way the best.
I do think that they should get rid of the every divisional team getting a home game, though.
I agree. Let them in the playoff, but they don't need to get a home game.
I think the vote is coming soon on that.
Oh, is it?
I think so. I think it's like
this week, that passes.
Maybe. I do too. They're also going to vote on the tush push.
Branham, I hope that stays.
Yeah, I do too. I think it was stupid to get rid of it. Can you rate Tita's Taco House? Just moved to Humble. Have you been to Tita's?
I think you and I have had this conversation because I told you it was the best breakfast tacos I had, and you put me on to the barbacoa place in Porter.
Did you go?
I've gone, yeah.
Oh, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
It's elite.
It is elite. But Tita's is great.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, if you want the barbacoa, though, get there early because they sell out quick.
You know, I've never had their barbacoa.
Oh, really?
I haven't had it.
It's very good, but if you get there, like, past 9 o'clock, it's probably gone.
They have it every day?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, they're not open on Sundays, though.
The place I put you on only has it on the weekends.
Yeah.
It doesn't have it during the week. Dad Shoe, On Cloud, Brooks, or Hoka? I'm wearing On Clouds right now, baby boy. I got a little Ons. I love these Ons. Apparently, they're not On Clouds. They're Ons. Blinkers taught me that.
Is that a shoe brand?
Yeah, these bad boys right here.
I've never heard of those. I'm wearing Vans, but...
I mean, it's hard to know with all the drip that I got, but I mean, look at those bad boys.
Yeah, when people think drip, they think Jeremy Branham.
They think Branham's Ons. How could you not? Blankers went to go legally change his white name. Okay. Blankers had to return some videotapes. There's still one Blockbuster in the world, I think.
Yeah, it's in Portland, or not Portland, but Oregon.
It's in Oregon.
Somewhere, yeah.
Grilled or fried fish?
Depends on the fish. If it's catfish, definitely fried.
I prefer mine, honestly, I prefer mine blackened.
But yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
If I had to pick between grilled or fried, I usually like grilled more. Now, if you do it...
Not with catfish.
I do. I think that the fried batter stuff, like, it overpowers the taste of the fish, which for catfish, you might want.
Yeah, depending on the fish.
If
yeah,
you do
exactly.
If you do a fry right, though, I like it, like, flash fried and thin batter.
Sure.
The thicker the batter, the more I don't like. But if you do a real thin, tasty batter, then okay.
Yeah, like, if I get trout or flounder, I don't want that fried. But if it's catfish, I want it fried.
Somebody sent a gif of a guy on a bathroom toilet. And where did Blankers go? Peter K. Blank hates puppies, kids, nickel corners, the Rockets, property taxes, beef fajitas, Draymond Green, trampoline park workers, coaches that run up the score when Branham checks out, Jordan Love, James Harden, and working a full day.
Oof, that list is getting long.
This is my favorite part because I check out like twice a week at 5 o'clock. Wild Cards hosting a 14-3 2-3 seed because they aren't the division champs is BS. If the Wild Card is a 10-7 team that won their division... I don't remember wild card teams being 14-3.
Well, just this last year, the Vikings were a 14-3 team, had to go to Arizona to face the Rams because of they lost that final game of the year against the Lions, and then obviously the LA Fires moved that game to Arizona.
I read this wrong then. Yeah, I read that wrong. I think the better record should
host. Yeah, Minnesota should have had a home game.
Did BMAC say Portland but not Oregon? No, I think you said Oregon, didn't you?
I said first I said it was in Portland. I said, oh, wait, no, it's not in Portland. It's just somewhere in Oregon.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You didn't botch that. Fish on the pit, baby. Huh. I like a little – that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I need it. Sure.
All right, so Brock Purdy signed the big contract the other day. It pays him $53 million annually. He is now 4, 5, 6, tied for the 7th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Dak Prescott's number one at $60 million, a full $5 million higher than Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence, who all check in at 55. So there's your top five. Tua makes 53-1. Brock Purdy makes 53. Jared Goff makes 53. So those are the top 8 quarterbacks in the NFL. That is your $53 million club. First time it's ever happened in NFL history, obviously. Which of these guys, Brian, do not belong? We can look at them one by one if you want. You can go top to bottom, bottom to top.
I would have a hard time picking just one because I'm looking at this list of 8 guys, and there's 3 of them I'd be comfortable at the salary they're making. And obviously the first 2 are obvious with Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. I'm completely comfortable with their salary. The other one is the guy at the bottom of this list, even though he's in a tie with Purdy. It's Jared Goff. I'd be fine with Goff. Now, I know Goff is a guy that you probably have to build a team to where everything's perfect around him. Like, he's not going to lift up a subpar wide receiver room like Josh Allen's done. He's not going to do something like that. But I still think he's capable of playing at near a $53 million level if you equip him with the right tools around him. Everyone else, I mean, Dak Prescott, and we see what he's done in the playoffs. I'd be out on that. Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence haven't proved anything. Tua, we know he's one hit away from retiring. And then Brock Purdy, I thought he's, you know, maybe this is a lazy argument, but I believe it to be true. I view him as a system quarterback. I don't know if he went basically anywhere else in the league, well, maybe outside of Minnesota or Green Bay, because they've been quarterback whisperers there too. I don't know if he'd play at a level good enough to be able to get a contract like that.
Yeah. Brock Purdy 2 years ago was unbelievable.
He was. I have a hard time believing if you remove him. Maybe that's unfair by me because he is in that situation. And there are a few other teams like Minnesota and Green Bay I mentioned where he could probably go do the same thing. But if he was a free agent, I wouldn't pay him that money. If I'm, say, the Colts or somebody like that, I wouldn't pay him Brock Purdy that money.
How much did Darnold get per year?
I'd have to look that up, but I thought it was in the 40-ish.
He got 3 years, $100 million, so like 33 a year.
Okay.
Yeah, Darnold at 33 and Purdy at 53 feels a bit off.
Yeah, they feel kind of similar.
It's weird, though, because, you know, the price of poker, it's the time of when you sign a deal, all of that sort of thing, the deal, whenever you sign it. It's very important. And it's very important that you eat 3 meals a day. And breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I don't have a problem playing Dak Prescott top 8 money.
Okay.
Because of when he signed his deal. Now, $60 million, number one,
yeah.
$5 million more than anybody else. He clears everybody else in the NFL by $5 million is where my problem would be. Now, like when he signed his deal, I'm not faulting Dak Prescott for making $60 million, nothing like that. But he shouldn't clear every quarterback in the NFL by $5 million. Top 8? I can live with top 8. Clearing everybody by $5 million is ridiculous. Joe Burrow, 55, tied for second. No issue there. Josh Allen, 55, tied for second. No issue there. I probably have to go with Blanker's side on Jordan Love. I don't think Jordan Love's a top 8 quarterback. I think Jordan Love's pushing top 10 at best. So $55 million for him seems high. Trevor Lawrence, $55 million seems high. He's had one good year in the NFL. He's had one good year in the NFL.
Yeah, was the first year with Peterson, right?
It would have been, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago, he was fine. I don't know if that was the first year with Peterson. Might have been the second year, but whatever.
Yeah, maybe the first or second year with Peterson, he was good.
I am curious to see what he looks like with Liam Cohen, though.
Yeah, it's definitely
Duval.
Possible.
Liam Cohen made Will Levis look like a number one overall pick. He did.
He fooled at least one ESPN 97.5 host.
He was he made Will Levis look good. 2 at 53 is too much. Purdy and Goff, I'm on the fence about. I'm okay paying Purdy and Goff top 8 money. 53 feels steep, and then when you compare it to like the average quarterback salary, it feels pretty even steeper. I think Purdy and Goff deserve top 8 salary, though.
Yeah, I get less caught up in the number than the ranking, like you laid out. Like, because if we had this conversation 5 years ago, we would, you know, clutch our pearls over the prices that some of these guys are getting paid. But that's, like you said earlier, that's just the price of poker, and it's only going to go up. And we'll obviously have this another conversation about CJ Stroud at some point, because his number is going to be probably above all these guys. But yeah, I don't have a problem paying Goff somewhere in the neighborhood of like 8 to 10, 8 to 12. Really, the bigger problems are with Jordan Love and Lawrence and Tua. Like, those guys I don't feel belong on this list at all.
It's crazy.
If Dak was further down, like you said, I don't have a problem with him being top 8. It's just one clearing everybody by $5 million is insane.
It's crazy to look. We know that Mahomes took like a team-friendly deal and all that. Pat Mahomes not being in the top 8 is pretty ridiculous.
Lamar.
Where's Lamar?
Yeah,
Lamar. How much does Lamar make a year? Lamar's average annual is 260 for 5.
I don't. What does that work out to? I'm not doing the math in my head.
52. So he's just below Purdy in Goff. Yeah. See, that's kind of criminal. It's criminal that Goff, Purdy, Tua make $1 million more than Lamar.
Don't the Ravens?
It's criminal that Lawrence and Love make $2 million more than Lamar.
I know the Ravens don't technically owe it to Lamar. But I think if I were the Ravens, I'm like, all right, we're going to adjust something to where you bump up above these.
I mean, you want to save as much money into the cap as possible.
Well,
to help
you
out can
do with some
team.
Tricks and just moving some money around to where he's above these guys for the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Brady got so much love, though, was that Brady would always take team-friendly-ish deals and would make sure that the rest of the team were good. Remember I said deals, not deal. Dak and Purdy are way overpaid. This texter says they're all overpaid. Okay, well, then who are you paying? Like, you have to. This is the price of poker. Dak at 60 feels like a lot. Purdy, I think, is more reasonable than Dak at 60, though. I mean, people forget how good Purdy was a couple years ago. Purdy was nasty a couple years ago. Dak is a 40 to 50 max type player, and I love Dallas. See, I feel like we're underrating Dak a little bit.
Is what you said, though, about Purdy more paying him? I know this is something you would typically say about an older quarterback and not someone as young as Purdy. But given the changes that San Francisco's gone under, I wonder if that's almost more paying Purdy for what he has done and not what he will do.
No, I disagree with that.
Because I don't know what Ayuk's going to be when he comes back. They lost Debo, Kittle's getting up there. We don't know what obviously Christian McCaffrey's always one juke away from, you know, ending a season.
You're sleeping on third and Juwan Jennings.
I guess. And then Ricky Pearsall, you know. I'll give him a shot. But
he finished strong last year, too.
He did.
Look,
he did.
I don't disagree with your point too much about Brock Purdy being a system quarterback, but what if he's the best that Shanahan has seen in his system? Like, you trust him to make the right read. You trust him to make the right throw. He's not – like, that system, you're not really looking for deep balls a whole lot. You're looking for good decision makers, getting rid of the football, quick, precise, on time, accurate. So – well, I don't disagree that he's systemy for San Francisco. He just fits them to a T. Shanahan loves him. We're not letting this guy get free.
It's fair.
He's only 25, too.
It's fair. I just wonder when, and I don't think we've seen it. At least I can't think of a time that we've seen it, other than maybe Washington with Kirk Cousins when they let him walk out the door. But it just feels like sometimes teams put themselves in a situation to where, well, this is the guy we have, so we got to pay him. Because the fear of the unknown, and I get it because it's quarterback, and they're obviously probably the most or the hardest thing to find in all sports. But I kind of feel like, especially with a guy like Shanahan or maybe in Minnesota or Green Bay there as well, because those guys have proven they could kind of do it with almost anyone, I kind of want to bet on myself if I'm Shanahan and go find the next guy if I don't feel like Purdy has the upper ceiling, and I don't think he does.
The fear of doing that, though, you just pull up top free agent quarterbacks this offseason, you're looking at a list that has Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold, and Jameis Winston in the top three.
Yeah, no, that'd be more about going the rookie route, but I get your point with the free agents.
And that's also hard to do if you're winning.
Yeah. No, it is, but I mean, if that's kind of the point, though. I mean, he took, obviously, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. Jimmy Garoppolo was the second-round pick. Like, they're not having to find these guys at the top of the draft. Well, one time they did that with Trey Lance, obviously, it didn't work. So, if I'm a quarterback whisperer, I might bet on myself till I could find these mid-round guys that could be just as good and save that money and pay someone else.
Purdy is a great decision maker, but is he an elite thrower of the football? I don't think so. I'm not sure about Purdy. I don't really disagree with that take. But Shanahan knows what he wants. NFL needs a quarterback cap. They've talked about, not very seriously, but they've talked about separating the quarterback salaries from the salary cap. That would be fascinating.
Are you for that?
Not really.
I kind of don't. It feels like I'm kind of against it as well, because it feels like it's giving the teams an out. It feels like it's giving the teams that mismanaged one part of their overall roster construction an out in a free pass. That's part of the game. You got to be able to figure out how this whole the whole thing mixes together.
No, I agree. And also, what does that look like? Like, you have a salary cap, but you don't have a quarterback cap. Is the quarterback uncapped? Like, what does that look like?
No, I guess they would just – so let's say the cap for a round number is $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they would just say $200 million for the rest of the roster, $100 million max for your quarterbacks.
It feels really unfair to the teams that have quarterbacks at $50 million. Like, you're saving $50 million on a quarterback that you found, or a quarterback that's performing above his salary, and then you don't get to repurpose that on the team.
Yeah. I don't like the idea for that reason and the other reasons we talked about.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. It's reinventing the wheel, I feel like. Would you rather have Dak or Jordan Love?
Dak, I said with no confidence. I think Dak, though.
I think I'd go Dak. Dak over Love. A little bit better.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jordan Love with a better wide receiver group around him, because he doesn't have a one, never has. And obviously, Dak has with Amari Cooper before, and now CeeDee Lamb. So maybe that gives Dak an advantage that is unfair to Jordan, or to evaluating Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd still go Dak.
The only thing that's going to stop is if the NFL teams quit giving out big money to mediocre quarterbacks, they don't learn. I agree with that. But again, it's the quarterback position. BMAC said he'd give Pearsall a shot. Pun intended?
Yeah, it was pun intended.
You did that on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Brian. Not bad.
I was wondering if you'd catch that, but moved right past it.
I didn't catch it, no. I didn't catch that one. All right, 713-780-ESPN. C.J. Stroud is eligible for a contract extension next offseason. Can't sign one first before that, but he can sign one next offseason. How much is C.J. Stroud going to get? And would you give C.J. Stroud $60 million a year? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Mario on the Twitch says, how about we get rid of the NFL? That'd be awful. I love the NFL.
Yeah, well, what else would... I mean, to quote Ray Lewis, there's nothing else to do.
Well, that's not true. But would I be best ball drafting on May 19th?
Ugh. Yeah, I don't even know.
I got me, speaking of...
How many do you have?
I got a couple.
By a couple, you mean... I drafted okay, a, I'll put the over-under, I'm going to guess, 34 and a half.
It's more than that.
Yeah, okay.
See, I would have bet the over. 10, 35, probably north of 50. Probably around 55 or so. 55 best balls.
And you got up to... Were you over 200?
No, I think it was I was like right around, a little over 200.
Last year?
I'm going to get well above that this year.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Well above that. I drafted a Jordan Love stack today.
Which receiver are you?
It was a Green Bay, Carolina, Seattle stack, which is pretty risky because none of those quarterbacks I love. But no. That's why I drafted three quarterbacks.
You're trying to be contrarian, two. So you have...
No, it's just kind of the way the board... I mean, I let the board talk to me. It's just the way the board fell, you know?
That's where you're getting value.
The board. I had both of Love's receivers. I got Golden and Reed.
I don't hate it.
It was a running back bully. I ended up with Ginty and Henry. It's my first two picks. I don't love doing that, but so I let the board talk to me.
I mean, I think most years the kind of the zero RB approach has worked in best ball, but last year that wasn't the case. Like the guys that drafted Henry and Saquon and all those guys at the top, those are the teams that won for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they at least advanced.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anyone with Saquon was
But I don't know advancing. If they won in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember what Saquon did in that championship week in Week 17, but those teams all did really well.
I have to go back and look. 2008, see if I can find the roster.
Last year overall was just a bad year for the zero RB approach, because the guys that are at the top of the list all kind of came through.
No, this is too old. This isn't. This can't be right. This is super old. It has Stephon Diggs as a first-round pick. That was like
That has to be at least two, 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I'll look to see if I can find it during the break. So C.J. Stroud, he's up for a contract extension next offseason, which I think he gets one next offseason. I don't think there's any doubt that C.J. Stroud will be extended by the Houston Texans next year. Dak Prescott's the current highest-paid quarterback in the NFL at $60 million. You have three quarterbacks that are at 55. Four quarterbacks at 55. Burrow, Allen, Love, Lawrence. Two at 53-1. Purdy and Goff at 53. How much money is C.J. Stroud getting next year?
I think the minimum, the Texans are going to be able to walk away from the table paying C.J. Stroud. And I think this has a chance to go up depending on what else happens between now and then, where the market goes. But I think the minimum they walk away from the table is 5 years, 305. $61 million per year.
Okay.
I don't see Stroud. Now, I mean, obviously the Texans counter is like, you want more than Burrow? You want more than Allen? But I think Stroud could reasonably go to the table, and his agent, obviously David Mulligetta, could go to the table and reasonably argue that Stroud would be worth more than Dak Prescott.
I was going to put my minimum at 60, but that's close enough.
Yes, I just think he's going to, I mean, not the $1 more, obviously it's $1 million more, but I think he's going to, minimum is 5 years, 305, 61 per.
Yeah, I have no argument there.
If he would take that, I'd go ahead and do it now before the price potentially goes up again.
See, I don't think it'll go crazy above that, though. Like, what quarterbacks between now and then would
that's the unknown that I'm not sure.
Because it would have to be a young quarterback. It'd have to be a quarterback that doesn't have a contract already. Unless somebody renegotiates, which always happens. You know, does Lamar like demand, hey, these guys are making more money than me. That's ridiculous. Pay me 60. That could always happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who the young quarterback would be off the top of my head. Because that's kind of the unknown in this process of who could potentially come in with a new deal that would inflate where everything stands at now.
See, I think it'd have to be somebody in his class. I mean, Bryce Young's not getting $60
million. What's Hurts getting paid?
Probably around 45, I guess.
He just won a Super Bowl. That might be the time to go ahead and it's like, hey, let's talk about a new deal.
Didn't he sign recently, though?
That's why I'm asking the question. I don't remember.
I think they extended him already off of his rookie deal. I think he's making a lot of money. Jalen Hurts. I have no problem paying C.J. Stroud $60 million a year, though, or $1 more than $60 million a year. Does he deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? No. But because he's the latest and greatest, and I think it's the price of poker, and it's Mulligetta, C.J. Stroud this time next year has a $60 million contract per year. And I think it's upwards to what you mentioned, too, like the guarantees and all of that. C.J. Stroud's going to get paid.
Yeah, like I don't see them, especially let's think about how Casario does business, right? I mean, Derek Stingley comes up for a contract, makes him the highest paid guy. Hell, Jalen Petrie comes up for the contract, makes him the highest paid guy. Nico Collins didn't make him the highest paid guy, but paid him before he necessarily had to. Like Casario, and we've heard it in clips that we've played where like he actively has said that a part of his process is not necessarily to win the deal. It's to make sure that both sides walk away from the table happy. And obviously, part of that I agree with. You do want to keep the locker room happy, although I do think he maybe has been a little soft in the negotiations to give in and to make guys the highest paid, like especially Petrie. But I think Casario's MO has been to not nickel and dime guys down to a more, I guess, like a team win on the contract. If the market said Stroud should make $61 per year and be paid higher than Dak, then I think that's what he's going to do.
I believe he believes as well that you get it done early.
Next offseason's the time.
I don't know if he believes in the whole get it done early to try to, you know, beat the curve and all of that. I don't think that's part of it. To me, I think he just wants to take care of his player. And like we see it even with these rookie deals, like Jaden Higgins, the first ever second round draft pick to ever have his contract fully guaranteed.
Another example.
There's been at least one other draft pick. Don't remember who he did it with, but it might have been even more than one, where he gives them unprecedented guaranteed money after they draft him, just to please the player. I think I'm okay with that too.
I was until Jalen Petrie. That was we had that conversation, obviously, when it happened. And I think we were all in agreement that he got overpaid and paid money that we wouldn't have paid Jalen Petrie. But, like, when Nico Collins got his contract, I was fine with that. Stingley, because when you look at it from not a 3-year, like the 3-year extended on, but like how it spreads out over 5 years to where it becomes a pretty reasonable contract, I was fine with that as well. The Petrie one's the one that kind of still sticks in my side as that wasn't a good contract, in my opinion, from Caserio. But I do think it lends itself to, in this conversation, that C.J. Stroud is going to get he's going to get paid more than Dak. He's going to get $300 million plus. He's going to get over $60 million per year.
The Petrie thing, I don't think it was so much the – to me, that was more about the decision of him being a player you wanted to pay.
Sure.
That's where I give Caserio the criticism for it. The whole, like, dollar figure, like, that's just kind of the price of what it currently is around the NFL.
What's the price for Jalen Petrie make him the highest-paid nickel corner in history?
See, that to me is the decision on the player. That's more about the decision on the player than it is the contract. Because I don't think Petrie would have signed probably for less. He would have tested free agency or whatever.
You don't think he would have signed for less than the most ever?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't think he's deserving of that. But what's the incentive to sign early?
I mean, it's fair. I honestly wonder if we'd gotten a prediction from Petrie himself before the deal, like what he was expecting. Because I can't – I mean, look, I know these players are confident in themselves. They obviously – you don't get to this level without having that sort of belief. But I think in his heart of hearts, he didn't think he was the highest paid nickel corner.
My biggest deal with the Petrie thing is that they decided to sign Petrie.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much the price. It was more the fact that he is an extension-worthy player. Because I think there's a line of demarcation when it comes to players in the NFL. Rookie contract, second contract. And it's always the decision, do we believe this is a second contract player? And usually if you think it's a second contract player, you're going to be paying a premium. You know, we can argue the semantics of the highest paid nickel ever, $10 million less than the highest paid nickel ever. So I don't really care about the figures as much because they can always figure that on the back end. And the way that they structure it, it gives them a little bit of cap relief, even though it's the biggest ever. And then there's like the guaranteed money, all this like weird, hard to understand stuff. The problem that I have with the whole Petrie thing is I don't look at Jalen Petrie as a second contract player. To me, it's fine player on his rookie deal. I think he gets beaten coverage a lot. I wouldn't have signed him to a big second contract, period. The dollar figure to me wasn't the mistake.
Yeah, I guess I have a hard time separating the two, but fair. I get your overall point because, like you mentioned with the coverage, like to me, I can't justify, and this is maybe why I can't separate them, but I can't justify making you the highest paid nickel corner when I don't think you can cover.
Yeah. That's why I don't think he's a second contract player.
Yeah.
Like, it's the process to me. Like, whenever we look at all these Houston Texan young players, is C.J. Stroud a second contract player?
Yes.
That's why you're going to pay a premium. Is Will Anderson a second contract player?
Absolutely.
Why you're going to pay a premium. Nico Collins was. You actually got a pretty favorable deal there. You signed Derek Stingley Jr. He was a second contract player. You paid him highest cornerback money. So usually you're going to be paying a pretty serious dollar amount whenever you make the decision that this player is a second contract player. I never viewed Jalen Petrie as a second contract player, ever, at all.
No, I viewed him as expendable.
Exactly. So to me, that's what the issue, but then yes, it is hard to like separate the two because then you date him, blah, 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 blah. CJ needs to show he can shift protection before you start talking about contracts. Okay, if CJ Stroud does not show that he can shift protections, does he still get paid?
Of course.
Still gets paid.
There's, I don't even know what the scenario would be to where he doesn't get paid. Now, he could play to a level that maybe lowers the payment, that maybe puts him more at what Tua got paid instead of passing Dak. I could see that scenario,
yeah. But
there's no scenario where he doesn't get paid.
Somebody says Jalen Daniels is somebody who can sign a big contract to reset the market. That's not the case.
He's not going to beat Stroud to the market.
He's not. He can't be. Jaden Daniels isn't extension eligible until the following offseason. The earliest the Houston Texans can sign C.J. Stroud's next offseason. So that means that Jaden Daniels' earliest that he can sign is in two off seasons. Daniels isn't going to get to the market before Stroud, so he couldn't reset the market.
That is a motivation, though, to get Stroud done next off season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Jaden, I would assume unless some catastrophic RG3 injury happens, it would then be surpassing whatever CJ got and could potentially, if he were to hit the market before CJ, to push that contract up for the Texans.
What happens if he has a similar statistic year to 2024? So if he's identical next year as to what he was in 24, I still think he gets $60 million a year.
Yeah, I'm not discounting it as being impossible. I think if he shows no growth, I think he could drop down to that Trevor Lawrence Tua like 55, 53 level, but I would not say 60 is impossible. It might not matter.
Yeah, I think he's I don't see a scenario where he doesn't get 60.
He would have to. I think he'd have to show regression. But he, but that still gets a contract. Like, to the previous Texas.
What if he gets hurt?
Unless it's an RG3 situation where you think it's some sort of something that's going to linger with him for his career. Like, if it's just a broken leg that you think, okay, he heals the bone stronger, I don't think it has any bearing on his contract.
I don't either. What about your boy Levis? Laughing face emoji. Can't even become the Titan starting quarterback. He'd be the Titan starting quarterback if they didn't draft Cam Ward number one.
True.
We all have our swings and misses. I'm sure
Davis Mills would be the Texans starting quarterback had they not drafted CJ Stroud.
I'm sure you've had some bad takes too. 3066, like listening to us. Terrible take. Why would you be listening to us? You're mocking me for having that take, yet you're listening to me. What does that say about you? That you're listening to us right now. What a terrible take that is. $60 million a year for less than 4,000 yards in a season. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Bryce Young's not going to make more than C.J. Stroud.
No.
Like, what kind of season would Bryce have to have and C.J. have to have for Bryce to make more than C.J.? Can't see it.
See, I mean, I think Bryce would have to play at MVP level.
If Bryce has a really good year, maybe Brock Purdy money. Not 60.
No, yeah. If okay, let's say Bryce has CJ's rookie year.
Yeah, I think he gets around Purdy money.
I think he does too, but he doesn't pass CJ.
Not 60.
No, like it would
especially
take
with how bad he was in the first year, and yeah, then not very good until the end of last year.
Yeah, he was more of a second half guy last year. Like, it would take, I think, some sort of catastrophic injury to CJ, and then Bryce having an MVP season.
Fantasy football talk in early May is so lame. Didn't that get Beard and Connor fired? Connor wouldn't shut up about his nephew's fantasy league. I don't remember that.
That didn't get them fired.
I mean, we're just talking football, man. Why do you hate football so much? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Is it time to move on from Brendan Rodgers? Also, might be difficult with just one person, but we'll do it anyways. Is this guy a Ray, or is he a guy with Ray in his name? We'll discuss next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No Blankers. He left early. Where did Blankers go? 713-780-3776. Sydney Olympics in 2000, Brian. September 15th through October of that year, 2000.
Did it actually run until October 1st?
They did. Was that September 15th through October 1st?
Okay. All right.
2000.
It's not November, but okay.
1988 Seoul Olympics. September 17th through October 2nd.
I'm still waiting for the November one.
I have to scroll way back for that. 1950. Actually, they had a bunch in October here. Mexico City in 68 was in October. 64 in Tokyo was in October. Melbourne, 1956, November 22nd through December 8th.
Well, my parents were 1 year old. I'm not counting that.
I wonder what happened. Why they moved that so far back? That's something. Must
what
have happened
they? Sorry, what did you say it was again?
56.
No. What was the
November
month?
22nd through December 8th?
That's so weird.
I know. Like some of these places, I don't know if that was the case in 56.
Actually, that makes sense, right? Because their seasons are reversed. It was in Australia, right? You said Australia?
It was in Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, so their seasons are reversed. So if you put it in December, then it's warm there.
There you go. Maybe that's why it was September through October in 2000 in Sydney.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You thought I was nuts.
Because if you put it in July, it's their winter. Yeah.
There you go. I've never been there. Is that why their toilets go the other way? Because the seasons are backwards?
I don't know if it's because the seasons are backwards, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Doesn't that make it the Fall Olympics? It does. The Summer Olympics in the fall.
Okay. Maybe this is a weird or dying on a weird hill, but I don't like my Summer Olympics in the fall.
It's about player safety. I don't want them to get heat exhaustion.
You don't care
and
about
die.
Player safety.
I do.
Lamar Jackson ear hole. Now you're talking about player safety.
Yeah. Yeah, I care about player safety. I don't want the U.S. sprinters pulling a hamstring because the weather is too hot. It matters to me. Is it time to end the Brendan Rodgers experiment, Brian?
I mean, I guess it depends on what you think you're going to get from him. But, I mean, looking at his stats right now, what, 58 OPS plus? His OPS is 551. Obviously, batting average, not good either, just over the Mendoza line. Like, he's never been, and we talked about this when the Astros signed him, which, and it feels like it's worth reminding that they signed him as a minor league contract, so the expectations should have been pretty low. But he's never been a good hitter outside of Coors Field. You look at his career splits, and it was drastically different home and road when he was in Colorado. He even made the joke himself that he's, you know, find out if he's a C hitter or whatever, as in C level. I don't think he's going to be much better than this. So if you think you can get better than from Dubon or moving Altuve back to second, then I would go ahead and end it. But, I mean, what are you really saving? The only thing you're saving is poor performance because he's not making anything. So if you feel like you want to move Altuve back to second base or play Dubon, I'm fine with that.
He had the option, was a week from this past Saturday, where he's only making $2 million a year.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Now, the Astros are pushed and nestled closely to the CBT, so would that influence them trading for a reliever or a backup left-handed bat at the deadline? It could, potentially. I always ask myself, what would you do if you do that, though, right? So, like, if you move on from Rodgers, and I'm not married to Brendan Rodgers, he's got an OPS plus of 58. Mauricio Dubon has an OPS plus of 62. They think Dubon's the better glove. Like, whenever they have to bring in a glove defensively at second base because Altuve's playing there that day, who do they go with? They actually go with Dubon. So I think that they like Dubon's glove more than Rodgers' glove. They both have gold gloves in their resume. Rodgers was closer, or Rodgers was further away than Dubon's. The move, to me, there's two moves. One is moving Altuve back to second mostly. You can't do it when Fromber's pitching. You can't do it when Hunter Brown's pitching. But can you do it when your other three or four starters are? I think that you can. So Altuve plays four of those 6 days, three of those 5 days. And then it also gives you a chance for DeZinzo and Cam Smith to both be in the lineup. I'd rather see DeZinzo in the lineup than Brendan Rodgers. I'd rather see Cam Smith in the lineup than Brendan Rodgers. So it makes sense to do that. Now, if you take him off the roster, who is the move to put on the roster? I'm not a huge fan of Forshay Whitcomb. I think he's a 4A player. I think he's really good at AAA. I'm not sure he can hit big league pitching. But could he be better than offensively? He's not as good at glove. But can he be better offensively than Brendan Rodgers? I think he can be. And he also gives you options to play in multiple positions. Not great defensively, but he gives you options, whereas Brendan Rodgers is a one-position player. He plays second base. Whitcomb, again, not good defensively, can play all over the field. At least can give you a warm body all over the field. And I think his bat's a little better than Brendan Rodgers. So I'm not married to the idea of keeping Brendan Rodgers. I think I am over Brendan Rodgers. I would move Altuve back to second base most days, and then I'm using Whitcomb to take Brendan Rodgers' spot where I'm getting an occasional at-bat for him, not worried about getting him in the lineup, but just the guy who can fill out the bench.
Yeah, I don't think it's a massively a needle mover either way for me just because, I mean, it's – for the most part, I don't think they're going to come in because Altuve's been on the decline this year and Dubon's a sub-100 OPS plus hitter. Like, you're not coming in and saving the position by this move. But if you could save a little bit of money to be able to afford a reliever in the trade market and you could get a little bit more production from the offense because moving Rodgers out means moving DeZinzo in, then I'm for it. I just don't think it's a move that, you know, changes the fortunes of the Astros offense, but I do think it's a plus for the team overall.
He needs to go so that way the infield can go back to what it was in getting a non-hitter out of here. Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, is he a Ray or is he a guy with Ray in his name? Ray Allen.
Well, that's the guy with a Ray in his name.
He's the head massage therapist for the Rays.
Oh, hold on. We're including massage therapists in this?
No, he's not a Ray. That's a guy with a name Ray, but he's not a Ray. But it's a different Ray Allen. I thought it was funny when I saw his name on the roster.
Who's this Ray?
He's the head massage therapist for the Rays.
He legit is?
He's legitimately the...
Because before, this has always been someone on their active 25-man roster.
He doesn't count as a Ray, but he is a member of the Rays organization. You're right. He is a guy just named Ray.
All right.
But whenever I was scrolling through their roster, I was like, that's funny. His name's Ray Allen. He's got Ray in his name, and he's the head massage therapist for the Rays.
When you said
so I'm
going
to put this one in for comedy.
Yeah, I was like, is he going that easy or is there a bit here?
No, okay. Ray Allen's the head massage therapist for the Rays, but technically not a member of the Rays. 26-man roster. Jonathan Aranda.
Is it Aranda?
It's Aranda. Aranda?
I'll go Ray.
Yeah, he's a Ray. Jose Caballero.
I actually know that one. That is a Ray.
He is a Ray. Junior Caballero.
I have that guy on my fantasy team. He's a Ray.
Nerd. Brady North.
That is your. I think that's their biggest reach so far. I'll say you've had a lot of Rays in a row. I'll say non-Ray.
That's the assistant hitting coach for the Rays.
There we go.
Brady North. Drew Rasmussen.
That is a Major League Baseball player. Yeah. Is he on the Rays, though?
Yeah, he's on the Rays.
Okay, he's a Ray. Yeah.
Brady Williams.
Non-Ray.
He's the third base coach for the Rays. So all these guys are technically Rays. Ray Allen, Jonathan Aranda,
there's
Jose Caballero.
There's
Junior
no one
Caballero,
on your list not paid by the Rays
Ray
organization.
Ray North, Drew Rasmussen. That's my favorite
Ray,
one.
Rasmussen.
It's Rasmussen. Rasmussen. And then Brady Williams. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. First Amendment on Pro Dunk Hoops, they make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. They're great. They're the best. They're better than anything you'll find in the big box store. So don't waste your time there. You always see goals in the neighborhood that come from the big box stores, and the backboard's messed up, the rim's jacked. They're no good. The wind blows them over. You get a 3-mile-per-hour wind, and the backboard is all busted up because it landed on the ground. No, get a goal from Pro Dunk. They make the best goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard, a breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston with our humidity. And it's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds, too, with their new lightning adjust feature. Their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with their lightning adjust feature. You use a drill to do it, and get anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. It is next level. It is the best. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play, backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. And you can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. The pros of Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do the work for you. And look, no one wants a big box of a million pieces delivered to their driveway and you have to put it together. No, let somebody else do that, like the pros from Pro Dunk. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day. 713-780-3776. Where did Blankers go? 713-780-3776. Blank is going to Costco to buy a gallon of ketchup.
I don't think he would stop at a gallon. I think if they have a bigger size, I think he goes bigger.
What kind of ketchup do you have in your fridge?
I usually buy the Whataburger kind.
Spicy or regular?
If it was just me, I would have spicy, but my wife doesn't like it. So,
gringo.
Yeah, I give in. I get the regular.
We use the spicy ketchup.
If it was me, I would get the. That's what I get like when I go there for myself. But
it's so good. Remember
my wife
hates
spicy.
You remember the white spicy ketchup they made for a little bit?
No.
The white cap.
They had a white ketchup?
It was like a limited edition. Had a white cover instead of a black cover.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was only for a few months. It tasted the same to me. I couldn't tell the difference. Anyways.
Odd.
713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day?
So I've got three, and I'll get through them quickly. Well, first one is just the overreaction that we saw from Angel Reese on the hard foul from Caitlin Clark. She literally just kind of lightly grabbed her around the midsection just to stop a layup foul. And Angel Reese, like, flung to the floor all awkwardly and got up and tried to start a fight on, like, on two different occasions. I thought that was absurd. Next one, I don't know if you saw this, but it was unbelievable. Not only did the Maple Leafs lose in a game
I watched a period and a half of that game.
So they lose 6-1, which is already embarrassing enough. That might as well be 52-0 in football, right? But apparently there's a player on Florida, Brad Marchand, their center. I might be butchering it. I don't know hockey that well. But not only did the Maple Leafs lose 6-1, Brad Marchand of the Panthers is 5-0 in game sevens against Toronto. One player is 5-0 against Toronto in game sevens.
Really?
Yes.
It feels off.
I know, but I've seen this stat checked, verified from several sources. One player 5-0 against a franchise in Game Sevens. Toronto
How old
might
is
be
this
the,
guy. What's his name?
Brad Marchand.
It feels like it's
M A R C H A N A N D. But he Maple Leafs are feeling like the James Harden of the NHL right now. How can one guy be 5-0 against you in Game Sevens? It feels impossible.
I think the Leafs ticked off the English language so much by putting an S after F.
Instead of leaves,
and they call themselves the Leafs.
The other quick one, I don't crush baseball overall for this, but it's just kind of funny how it works out because not everyone has a rival. But I love when they'll post the score weekend scoreboard for the rivalry weekend winners, and you see the quote-unquote rivalries that include games like Detroit versus Toronto and Atlanta versus Boston. Florida versus Florida, cool. LA versus LA, cool. Texas versus Arlington, cool. New York versus New York, cool. Boston versus Atlanta?
Texas versus Arlington?
Did I say Texas versus Arlington? My bad. But Detroit versus Toronto? Boston versus Atlanta?
I guess it's hard to do every pair it up.
So I don't want to kill them too hard, but maybe it's just going too far. We don't have to have a rivalry weekend.
I don't think you need a rivalry weekend. Whenever the Mets play the Yankees,
it'll be special whenever it's played.
Exactly. You don't need to name the weekend rivalry weekend.
There was another. What was the other weird one that was out of nowhere? There was a
Rockies against anybody.
Seattle versus San Diego. That's not a rivalry. And then Colorado versus Arizona, I guess, because it's the same division. But
expansion league, right? Didn't they come in together at the same time? Colorado and Arizona? No, it was Colorado and Florida.
Colorado and Florida, and then Arizona came in with Tampa like 3 years later. Yeah,
that's not a rivalry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are forced for sure. I had WNBA for going soft. That wasn't a flagrant foul on Caitlin. I'm also going to nominate the Major League Baseball for banning Jose Alvarado. 80-game ban. And why isn't Jose Alvarado the car wreck? Why is it Major League Baseball? Jose Alvarado is just trying to solve his ED issues. Maybe he's trying to have a family. Maybe he's trying to have kids. Maybe he's trying to show his wife a little bit of love. And we're banning him 80 games for that?
Wait, did he get caught with rice strips?
It's like some form of shout test. Exactly.
Shout out to Paul's sponsor.
What are we doing, MLB? He's a family man, and we're banning him 80 games?
I'm glad he didn't overtrain like Brian Cushing. That was a real tragedy when Brian Cushing overtrained.
I love the Dwayne Brown story, the contaminated meat.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually real.
Yeah.
It was so crazy.
Yeah.
Alex on Twitch nominates Dave Raymond.
That's a good nomination.
He also nominated you for throwing your back out, reaching for the keys.
It wasn't the keys, but it wasn't much better than that.
Josh from Seabrook nominates the Blue Jays. Car rake of the day was that last bit. Is he a Ray or does he have a Ray in his name? Get it,
nice.
Car rake.
Nice.
And then the Ray or Ray segment is definitely the car wreck of the day. It was craptastic. It was crape-tastic.
Get out.
I don't know what's winning.
Maple Leafs?
All right, sounds good. They need to win something. They can't win Lord Stanley, that's for sure. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He was blank. I am Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye, Houston. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.